Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 14th day of July 2018. We're going to take a look at past life experiences. I get a lot of emails on this, and hopefully I'll be able to serve you a little bit better, well, than I have in the past on this subject. It's a difficult one. Often one that can't be talked about. You have to feel it. You have to kind of go into it rather than intellectualize it. But we'll give it another try here, and I hope that it will be of service to you. Please remember that these radio programs are TV programs. Everything we do here on Aspire is supported and made available to you via my sponsors who make all this happen on a monthly and a quarterly basis. It's really a kind and loving thing that they do. So I want you to know how deeply grateful I am for this and for your kindness. So it's important, very, very important that you become a sponsor, because without it, we don't make many radio programs. Like, we won't make any or any TV programs, and we need your support to make all this happen, to serve humankind. Does it help people? Yes, it does. It's not about spreading the philosophy. It's about offering to you an alternative to conventional thinking, which most people are so much a part of. They don't even know they are, but they are. And that really keeps the world turning just as it is, with war and rumors of wars and difficulties. What I'm offering to you here is substantially different than anything, you've probably heard in the past, in the sense of what it means to live a more conscious life, a more loving life, a life where we are going against the grain of, shall we say, the collective unconscious, and starting to find ourselves in the conscious. That's really all it's about. So if you are finding these radio programs to be of service to you, which I hope they are, and evidently they are because you're listening, I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain it. Go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. In the middle of the page, you will see the word support. Yes, the four-letter word that everybody hates. Click on that. A drop-down menu will ensue, and you can read about why support Aspire. It will explain everything in detail to you. Well, not real detail, but enough to help you understand where everything is happening and going. It is sad the way the world has turned out. I sit and I talk to people outside of the practice, and everybody's just shaking their head, but nobody's doing anything about it. It's easy to shake your head and say, well, look at the way the world's turned out. It's just so crappy. Well, you can say that, but what are you doing to change it? People just want to get by. They just want to scoot by, get enough money to scoot on by, and then they think they don't have to deal with the world. Well, we do. We all live in it. We're all a part of it. And part of changing it is changing our consciousness. So let us get into past life experiences. What are they? Do you have to believe in them? All these things that I have people write me about. The first one's from Jan in, San Diego. Greg, I listen to your radio and your TV programs. They are helpful. Well, I'm glad. I really am. I'm really glad to hear that. Do we carry over our past lives into this world, or is this life it? It. Well, the answer is true on both ends. This life is it, as it were. This is the life you and I are in, so that's it. Do we carry over our lives? Of course we do. And, you know, this is not something that Greg believes in. I have had many a person in my day argue with this point of view that I have. And They're looking for proof in the biology, in the physical world, for reincarnation, for past life experiences, etc. You know, argue what you want, say what you will. It doesn't matter. I'm subject to what I'm subject to. I'm subject to these past life experiences, whether I know it or not. How do I know it? When you start meditating, when it starts to become very important to you, and you see the trouble with most meditators in the West is that it's a kind of on-off thing. There's no devotion to the practice. There's no devotion to meditation. It's just kind of one day I did, the next day I forgot. Next day I tried, and then the next day I didn't. And then next day I tried again, and then I forgot. It goes back and forth. It's rather haphazard. When you really devote yourself to the practice of meditation, of separating yourself from your ideas, your ideals, your body, your mind, all that other stuff that we like to get involved in, when that occurs, all of a sudden, a new world opens up, a new form of intelligence begins to occur. And you begin to exceed the state of mind you used to have when you were younger, when you believed in good and bad and right and wrong and all that other good stuff. It's just an interesting thing about meditation. So much is revealed that the mind cannot cope with. And so you have to develop another mind. And one of the things that you will get in meditation is this huge sense of the bigger picture of life itself. Not only your life, but life itself. It becomes momentous. It becomes beautiful. You start to see things in the light of a love that you had never known before. And once you start having this kind of experience, then the awakenings start to happen. And as these awakenings begin to occur, you start to realize you've been here before or done something similar to this before. I was in India filming Aspire there, The Call. And we were in a village where the Buddha originated his teachings and formulated his, his sannyasins. One of the cameramen called it his posse. And it was really, really quite an interesting little city. There was a lot of skirmishes there, a lot of problems, but Buddha just formulated his entire work right there after the Bodhi tree experience of inner awakening. It was really a monumental moment for me. I had no idea what was going to happen, none whatsoever. And all of a sudden, when we got there, and I started putting on the microphone and the makeup thing was going on, it started to dawn on me, just sitting there quietly with my eyes closed, the fragrance of my life there in that space was starting to happen to me. It was overwhelming. Everything I smelled in the air, everything I could breathe, was showing me little pictures and vignettes. I could feel my life there with the Buddha. My total life made no sense to my mind. My mind was trying to beckon me back and back and back, you know, back to the old Gregory's thing. But I didn't go there. This overwhelming sense of being there at that time. Now, am I crazy? Probably. Am I making this up? No. Did it really happen? Yes. And I did not even bother to tell the crew because they wouldn't have understood either. You have to be in that space for that to happen. I was deeply humbled. In fact, in a certain way, I was very saddened because I was a terrible, rotten student then. And I could feel myself working in what they would have called in those days the kitchen, as it were. kitchen. If you know me at all, I'm no good in the kitchen at all, even now. But even then, it was crummy. I was terrible in it. And I could feel the whole maturation of my ego, my pride, my vanity, the whole thing. I could feel it all. What I was like, what it was like there, that whole thing. It just went on and on and on within me. I can't tell you how powerful that is. Now, I know this all sounds insane to the local yokel mind that we all have, but it did happen. Even I had a hard time with it. When I kind of came out of it and I had done the program, and you can see that program. It's on the website at aspire.org where we were at the originations of Buddha's work. You can see there's a different texture to me at that discourse, and everything that I did set into motion some different things that I had never experienced before within me. And there you are, and there it is, and that's how it worked. So, I don't know, Jan, if that helps you. I don't really know, but that's what my experience is. And I live in accordance with that in my own life, that everything I do is plotting another life for me. Everything. So I look at everything as significant. Everything I do is significant. Everything I do could be the last time I ever do it again. And I want to make sure I'm very conscious of that, even loving up my dog. I make it very, very conscious of what I've done and what I'm doing, and that this is setting a precedence in my life for another life experience. Hope that helps you, Jen. Please forgive me. Namaste. It was a wonderful experience for me. I still have them to this day, by the way. Little insights and vignettes that hit me. Okay, the next question, from Larry. What is this life if we carry it over to here? What is this life mean, he says. This life has to do with mostly what I've done and what I've undone. And this is what I've experienced for myself. We're all working towards transcendence, whether we know it or not. We are here to transcend. And as I work in transcendence, as I begin to mature in it, I begin to understand that what I have left undone in my last life is what I'm doing now, what I'm working towards now in this moment. Everything is building and building and building into this moment. And every moment you have the chance to transcend, every single moment, to transcend the body, to transcend the old mind, to transcend the way we've done things that did not awaken us. It's about following the karma, actually, because wherever we are, that is where the karma is. So once I truly understand all of that and I get the meaning of it, that is when I start to sustain a state of mind, a presence within me where love can reach me, where love is. So working upon myself and being diligent, every lifetime brings me closer and closer and closer to something that is significant, deeply significant. Significant about what it means to no longer be captured in a human body, trapped in it, where it sends impulses and all sorts of thoughts and beliefs about good and bad, right and wrong, all that crazy kind of stuff, where I'm no longer impulsed by my mind, but rather where I am using my mind to transcend my body, to transcend my emotions, and to truly transcend the meaning of my existence here on earth. To live in that transcendence is to learn how to disappear and dissipate into love, absolute love. Nothing that Greg Penn thinks, nothing that Greg Penn sees, nothing that Greg Penn hears has anything to do with the truth. None whatsoever. And once that is understood, once that is really realized within, that is when transcendence begins to happen. Movement towards love begins to happen. And I begin a process of inner awakening. So that's what that is. And once we understand all of that, once we get all of that inside of us, once we realize that lifetime after lifetime, pieces of the giant puzzle of our life, of our karma, is being put together. If you follow your karma, you will naturally transcend. If you resent your karma, you will make more and more. It is best not to fight what is facing you and me in our karma. What could be facing us? Oh, all sorts of things. All sorts of things. Things about how I have lived on the inside of myself. How I've lived literally. How I've lived with great anger, with great frustration, with great hostility. It's all about how I lived in these things, these manners of spirit that I have lived in that have been anything but kind and compassionate. Now, once you understand all of that, that your karma is there to bring to you a set of circumstances where you and I can, and I'm going to use a word here, a phrase that isn't very good, but it will explain it. Buckle down. My circumstances are going to help me buckle down into discipline, inner discipline, to awaken. Now, that is very, very important. Can I buckle down to that? This means, you know, in my karma, I may get this, I may get that. Something may occur here or there that looks like a setback to what I want. Maybe it is there to help me examine what I want. And if it has anything to do with the progression of my spirit into love. Now, that is the key. Will it bring me into the progression of my sense of consciousness or the development of consciousness? If you understand that, if you can be aware that long, that way, then things start to change drastically. You start to see things not in the light of fear and anger or hostility or personal resentment, but you and I begin to see things in the light of how things really are, not how we pretend them to be. And in living in that fashion, we move towards the goodness of our being. In that goodness, we make amends with our entire life. That's what's really important. Love is deeply significant. It is the most significant thing I could ever teach you or try to point out to you. And actually, no one can teach you love. I can teach you how to get to love through meditation. I can help you understand your karma a little bit. I can help you follow your karma, but I can't give you love. I can emulate love. I can express love to you, but I can't give you love. Nobody can give you love. What you must do is follow the path on your own, within your own being. This must be the most important thing in your life. And if it isn't, then the circumstances and the conditions of our living take on the form of being adversarial. And when they do, we get defensive, and of course, we miss everything that is important. This is all about a great love, and it's being put into motion through consciousness, through the way I deliberately live my life consciously. If you start to live, Larry, from the heart and soul of your being, if you do things out of the compassion of the heart, you will start to realize, not in the events that happen in the world, but in the event that is happening within you, that there is something beautiful, something grandiose happening, something extraordinary. And it will change the way you live your life forever. And I mean forever. I hope that helps. I really do. I gotta go. Larry, thank you for your beautiful question and your kind comments about Aspire. I deeply appreciate it, and please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Carol in Las Vegas, Nevada. Boy, it's hot out there. What matters most, Greg, in the... Let me do that again. What matters most in order to live with redos? In other words, people who have to be redone, done-overs. So what matters most in order to live with redos? Oh, Carol, none of us, all of us are redos. All of us. I am, you are, everybody is. We've done this so many times before. And I thought your question was very cute, and I'm sorry I mucked that up in the beginning there. But, oh, well. Anyway, you are not a redo. I'm a redo. If you want to look at it all like that, then you're looking at it from a pragmatic point of view that is only going to lead you to believe that you're a screw-up. We're all screws up. We're all nuttier than fruitcakes. We're all a mixed bag of a lot of different things. And so our emotions are the key here. When you are no longer interested in satisfying your emotionality, that is when you will understand your karma like you've never understood it before. That is when you will self-realize. That is when you will pick up within yourself the meaning of each and every lifetime you've ever been in, and it will have significance in your daily living. That's how that happens. So, live in accordance with love. Want love more than wanting what you think is love, and you will have found the answer to everything. If I'm a do-over, as it were, a redo, as you put it, we all are, then figure out what it is that you need to change to no longer keep repeating the same cycle over and over and over again, making for havoc in your own life. Just start to understand that. What is it that I need to change? And I will give you some examples or some ideas. It will have to do with how generous you are both in forgiveness and in giving, and what you are willing to give up that denotes the clinging onto the body as your identity. Those three things are the things that matter the most in the course of a spiritual life. Your unconscionable generosity to do things like give and forgive, and to do anything that unhitches you, as it were, to your human body and makes you think that in that human body, that is your total identity. Once you have all of that in place and you start to understand all of that, that is when the change begins to occur. That is when love begins to occur. That's when you will change, when everything that is important will start to change. You live differently. Instead of living in fear of death or trying to avoid pain, now you are living in accordance with the love that lives within you, and many, many beautiful things can happen out of that. Trust me, they really can. So that's how it's done. I got to get out of here. I'm running out of time. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. Be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.